Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and a lot of stuff to get into, and we can't wait to get there. We've got the BMW Championship, next stop on the FedEx Cup playoff roster, if you will. There's only one after this one, so the top 70 guys are in Wilmington, Delaware. Not the most familiar of places. You don't see a lot of golf tournaments, at least on the PGA Tour, at Wilmington, but Wilmington Country Club is the home for the BMW Championship. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Most of the top players are playing in that as they can and try to get to the Tour Championship. $18 million, by the way, is the number. That's what the winner will get next week at Eastlake, is $18 million on top of whatever else they might earn on the way getting there. So a lot of money at stake. We have our good friend Paul Stankowski. He, a member of the PGA Tour Champions, also PGA Tour Radio, will be joining us here shortly to talk about not only golf and what's going on in the seniors level, but also the LIV Tour and what all that's about. Because as most of you probably know, in the last couple of days, there's been a number of meetings, and one involving Tiger Woods that just happened this week in Wilmington, as the Tiger's not playing, certainly, but he went there to talk to some of the players and, I guess, circle the wagons as much as you can about what's happening at the LIV Tour. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit as well. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing better. After last week, boy, I
had some issues.
It was tough. I had effectively dodged, if you will, COVID for 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years. Yeah. And boy, I it hit me. Yeah. And it took me down, as you well know. I couldn't even talk. It was brutal.
Right.
And then they started prescribing all these experimental medications for me, of which I took none.
Didn't do anything, huh?
Wouldn't take them.
Why did you not want to?
Paxlovid. Just read something on Paxlovid last night where it's changed your taste and all that. I don't know. Yeah. Your wife, I think, might have taken that.
She did.
And I have some friends, and it changed their taste. And now they're saying, well, we don't know if you're ever going to get it back right. And so I'm just glad I didn't take anything. Took zinc, vitamin D, a lot of hydration. Liquid IV, who used to advertise with us. Hey, Liquid IV, show us some love and some money or something, would you? Took the Liquid IV
so
I
subtle.
Had. Yeah. And anyway, feel much better. Still not, you know, I'm probably 70%. But it's over. I'm negative. Getting ready to maybe go to the Tour Championship. But boy, it zaps your energy. And that was, you know, we were at French Lick, and that's where I got it.
I guess so. Well, we were there for part of the Epson Tour, and Epson Tour being the women's version of the Korn Ferry. So there was a lot of young women there and caddies. But the point was, and I think the problem, if it indeed happened there for you or other people, is there was a rain delay. And everybody kind of comes into this big clubhouse area.
Yeah.
And the doors were open and closed and back and forth, but there were a lot of people in a small kind of confined area.
Shoulder to shoulder. Yeah.
And you
wouldn't stay in there. You went outside. You said, I'm going to stand in here.
Just seemed like a petri dish to me. Right?
Well,
don't really need to be hanging. And people were eating and drinking because that's where they'd go to. Yeah. You know, again, during the delay, there was lunch and everything. So everybody, anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better. And
thank you. You will
continue, I think, as everybody else has said. I don't say this with a sense of pride, but I've never tested positive, and I've tested myself, like everybody in the last couple of years, a dozen times or more.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I haven't had it, right? Well, you never know.
And you don't
go walk around testing yourself every week. So there could be times and you maybe have a lighter case of it. Maybe it's not that noticeable, or you just kind of think it's a cough or it's headaches or whatever you might have in a normal everyday life. So you don't test. So, you know, there certainly is a decent chance that I've had it, just never really.
Well,
knew
I'm
I had
over it.
So.
I've done the, you know, of course they've changed all the rules, the CDC, whatever the hell they're doing, who knows. Anyway, all the rules have changed, but I went through, you know, the whole thing, protocol, negative, 5 days out. I'm safe. I can go out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go try to hit some balls today and see. It's been going on 2 weeks since I've swung a club, and I was playing pretty good at French Lick, you know. Playing really good, as a matter of fact. But you know, you lay off a couple of weeks and it gets rusty real fast. So we'll see. But just the energy level. So for all of you out there, you know, that may or may not get it, it's the real meal deal. I kind of laughed it off a lot and said, it's not that tough. Hell, it was brutal.
Well, but I think it's also a matter of being smart. If you do, whether it's COVID or something. I think if you're not feeling 100%, your body kind of tells you to rest up, right? To heal, to get better. And so a lot of people don't listen and they just keep doing it and it lingers.
Yeah.
You kind of sometimes just have to hit the couch and go to bed at 8:30 or whatever your body's telling you to do. There were times when my wife was sleeping in the middle of it all. She was sleeping 12 hours a night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was long because she just was very tired, worn out.
To that point, I had a lot of time on the couch or in the den or in the bed. And so I turned on the Golf Channel and watched it like I used to watch it, keep it on all the time. My God, what's happened to the Golf Channel? I mean, how boring is that network right now?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's too much studio stuff. I mean, there's just
talk,
and it's not.
And then it's replay, and then they run the same show three times back to back. I don't know what's going on with those people, but if they need some help, we're certainly ready and prepared to help them out. I'm sure you'd like to move to Connecticut.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. Show me the way.
No chance.
Anyway, not to hammer our friends at the Golf Channel. We both have a lot of friends there,
but it's hammer away.
Well, yeah. Guess what? I binged watched 5 episodes of Blue Bloods last night. Love that show. Love Tom Selleck. Love the show.
That's a Tom Selleck show. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, and what's his name?
I don't know.
The boy band. His brother, Wahlberg.
Justin Timberlake.
No,
Wahlberg.
Wahlberg. Love Wahlberg. You know.
Yeah,
he's great in that show. He plays the part very, very well.
I've never really watched it.
And do you know the girl who played in Blue Bloods, the young woman, I should say, who plays the she's in the family, and she plays the that's probably Stankowski. I heard that she plays the DA, assistant DA, the brunette, right? The daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that is Tom Brady's ex-wife?
Oh yeah, Bridget Monahan.
Yeah, what an idiot.
I didn't know that.
She's gorgeous.
Okay, really? Because he married Bouchon?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Giselle?
Oh.
So he went from super hot?
I'd take the super hot brunette any day.
Well, maybe. Okay, personal choice, but she's a supermodel. So he didn't really downgrade.
Well, is there a difference in a supermodel and a not-so-supermodel?
I don't know.
Like
just a model?
One hang
just
lower than the other? I don't know.
Hey, let's call Tankowski. He's ready to go. Guess what he texts me? So we got Paul Stankowski. I teased that a little bit earlier. He said, "Holy crap, I was mowing the lawn."
Mowing the lawn? I thought he just signed with LIV.
Go ahead.
$23.75? Is that what it was?
Golly. Yeah.
How could he not sign for that? Guess how much they offered us.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Hey, LIV, thanks for nothing.
Call him.
Okay, I'm dialing Stankowski as we speak.
All right.
And let's see, one ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. There we go. Let's quit talking about Blue Bloods and.
Yeah.
Yo, bro.
What's up? We are live and rolling. What's happening?
Yeah. No, little pre-talk here. We're already on the air because we were starting our show, Paul, and you're out there on the Toro.
It's not a Toro. What do you have, a Cub Cadet? What kind of mower do you have, Paul?
I have a True Cut.
Mower. True Cut.
7-inch.
Keep the blade sharp, do you?
I can say John Deere.
I do. And I'm so sorry. It's about to rain, so I thought, man, I need to get a mow in.
Whoa. Yeah. It's going to rain in Dallas?
It might.
Believe it or not, it rained. There, it rained last night.
There's a rumor.
That it could rain. I think we've seen in Dallas an inch, maybe not even an inch. It rained last week. Pretty good rain, actually. It was the first rain we had in 70 days. So now in 80 days or whatever it's been, we've had, I think, an inch of rain.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
In Austin, Texas, what's the name of the river that runs by Austin Country Club?
That'd be the Colorado.
Colorado River. Is that the same Colorado River that ties into the Colorado River that feeds Lake Mead and Lake Powell and all that?
Well, there's only one Colorado River, so this is a branch of it.
Well, I thought it was Colorado 1, Colorado 2. I don't know.
Jeez, Ole Miss. Ole Miss shows up every now and then, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Colorado 6.
Colorado 6. That sounds like a movie. Soylent Green.
Semi-Colorado, mini Colorado. Yeah, it is. Why do you ask about that?
Well, because if anybody's been watching the news and what's going on out there and the 5 or 7 million people who may not have electricity because there's not enough water to run through the dam at Hoover and Powell.
Or the agriculture. They're not letting them.
And the agriculture.
Yeah. Places like Oxnard.
Are y'all going to build a California? Wall around Texas so those people from the West can't come also? You got the South, now the
steal
West.
Steal our water?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. My only thought on that.
Did you say about Oxnard?
I said it.
Well, Paul's from California.
He's from Oxnard.
I'm from Oxnard.
Yeah. I'm saying it's affecting Southern California's agriculture.
Yeah, big
time. They're coming off water to California, absolutely. Arizona. Yeah, so Oxnard may not get as many vegetables.
Well, that is the biggest percentage of vegetables that in this country are grown out there.
Strawberries. Strawberries are huge out in
California. Well, aren't lettuce and broccoli
people don't think
and
of California as being agricultural, but it really is. It provides if you go inland just a little bit, Paul knows this from traveling up and down the coast, there's a lot of farmland all over California.
Yeah. Well, the largest producer of cotton in the United States is California.
See? Who thinks
most people think it's Mississippi and the Deep South. Yeah. It isn't. It's California.
So they got to get some water. We'll see.
So guess what? More polyester golf shirts that turn yellow in 2 weeks.
All I'm going to say, and I think I've said this before. There you go. All I'm going to say is about the water, and then we'll move into Paul and talking about all the good things happening in golf, is if we can put pipelines to get gas everywhere, which we do, to get it from flowing from West Texas to here
down.
And here.
They get shut
Why
down.
Can't we do, Frank, just take
Go
a
ahead.
Breath.
Go ahead.
Why can't we get pipelines to get water? There's plenty of water in the East. They don't have droughts and nearly the same problems as they do in the West. Why can't we get water pipelines that are going from Lake Michigan and Lake Ontario and wherever and get fresh water flowing towards the West where they need the water? Why can't we do that?
Jim Cantore.
Why can't we? Doesn't that seem like an easy enough? I mean, I say easy.
It
it's expensive.
Like a brilliant idea.
Why can't we get oil? Idea. We got oil flowing everywhere in this country, but we can't get water. And there's plenty of it. Lake Michigan.
Why don't we figure out a way to? I mean, obviously desalination plants are expensive, but we have a thing, a couple bodies of water in the United States that border our coasts.
Yep.
We should never have a shortage of water. There's the ocean. Figure out a way.
That's what I'm saying. You put an Elon
a couple
Musk
of lakes,
kind of guy.
Got a couple of lakes in the Northeast or the North, the Midwest, whatever it is. A couple of lakes.
You get Elon Musk on this, and he'll come up with desalinization. He'll come up with a way to say, okay, we're going to the moon. We're getting rockets. We got all the things we can do. We can take ocean water and make it usable.
They do it in submarines. They do it on ships and submarines.
Right. We can solve all the world's problems right here.
Or maybe they can just make us not dependent on water, like change our DNA somehow.
Oh, that's Paxlovid and the COVID vaccine.
Here we go. change our DNA.
We better get out of here before we all get sued.
All right. Speaking of which, hey, Paul, a couple of hot topics I want to jump into. First of all, what do you think about Tiger and Ricky flying up and having a meeting with the players? And they're tight-lipped right now saying what they talked about, but it was an all-players meeting. And only a couple of handfuls of players, so it wasn't everybody on the tour, certainly. But they are addressing the LIV Tour and what's going on with that. I want, as a player, explanation of, do the players really run the PGA Tour, or do they not have as much say as we're sometimes led to believe that it really is a player-run organization? And so if that's the case, could Tiger and these other guys make a lot of changes and do things to counter what's going on with the LIV Tour?
Wow, that's pretty heavy. I didn't know Ricky tagged along on Tiger's plane, but
he did.
So, you know, that's a good question. Is it player run? No, it's not player run. But we do have four players on the board, the 9-person board, the commissioner, four players, and four independents. And so, you know, I know that's a good question. Do we have a say in what goes on? Honestly. I'm not sure I want the players as a whole collectively running this tour. But I at the same time, I think that the players absolutely need a voice. And I think the tour is actually getting the ear of the players right now. Obviously, these are crazy times in professional golf. So, I've never sat on the board. I've been on the pack a couple times. So I couldn't tell you. What goes on behind closed doors, but I'm glad they're having conversations. I think anything to help grow the PGA Tour is healthy. I think it's an amazing opportunity. It has been, and up until recently, it's been the most what's the word I'm looking for? From a financial standpoint, the best opportunity in the world to make a great living competing against the best players. And I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of it back then when the money was a tenth of what it is today. And I think that if you ask guys like Rick Massengale, who played when the money was a tenth of the money that I played, right, he would be, that was an amazing opportunity. Yeah. So all that being said, I don't know what happened behind closed doors. I haven't got an email yet or a letter from the commissioner kind of explaining. I think they are going to be, because as soon as those goes out, you guys hear about it. And, you know, I think right now there's a lot of strategy going on. And like I say, it's I think in the long run, it's going to benefit the PGA Tour. Not the LIV, but I'm saying these conversations and I think those players that are going to follow are going to benefit.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We'll see maybe what came out of that meeting. Again, Tiger's not in Delaware to play. Neither is Ricky. They haven't qualified, so they're not there for the BMW Championship. But there is a lot of conversations that are happening, and certainly rumors continue to swell about who's going to go over to the LIV Tour. And speaking of that, Paul, your feelings, I don't know if we've talked to you, or at least recently, with more and more going on. Cameron Smith, the latest number two player in the world to be possibly going to the LIV Tour after he maybe pockets a lot more millions from the PGA Tour before he goes over there. Your general thoughts, is the LIV Tour going to be around? Is it a fly by night? Is it useful in any sense, or is it all negative? There's so many, it's almost from one end of the spectrum to the other. It's terrible, it's wonderful, or somewhere in the middle. I'm curious where you're at with all that.
Well, I've kind of been all over the map since the beginning, right? A couple years ago, we heard about the whispers of what they're thinking about doing. And then all of a sudden it happened. And, you know, as they say, the proverbial stuff has hit the fan, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it. But mainly it's just because of the spirit in which I believe it was created, right? I don't think it's a secret that Greg Norman's hated the PGA Tour for many years. Seems like maybe we stole his idea on the World Tour back in the 90s and became the WGCs. And right. He's found some funding to try to bury the PGA Tour. That's my two cents. But I'll tell you what, Bubba, when he joined, right, when he put his release out to join, I don't know if you read his press release, or not his Twitter release, if you will, right?
Yeah.
What he said, kind of like it rang a bell in me, struck a chord, whatever you want to say. It changed the way I looked at this LIV Tour. He said, after saying he's excited about, you know, getting better and getting healthier and starting in 23, and he's talking about a new team name and logos and all this kind of stuff. He said, this is where it gets good. He said, it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to being a part of an exciting new concept in professional golf and seeing how it evolves. Like, that wordage.
Yeah.
An exciting new concept in professional golf, right? And that's what the LIV Tour is. It's not the same as the PGA Tour. It's not the same as the European Tour. It's not the same as any tour on the planet. It's different. Yeah. It's a new concept. It's teams. It's, you know, music, shotgun starts, 54 holes. Who? I mean, it's a member guest, right?
Yeah.
But they're playing for a lot of money and they're getting paid a boatload, you know, until they stop paying up front. But anyway, and then he finishes off by saying, and I love this, I couldn't make the move without acknowledging that I am forever grateful for the opportunities provided to me through the PGA Tour and for the many friendships made along the way. So I thought he summarized it very well. He called the LIV Tour for what it is. It's a new, exciting concept in professional golf, okay? It's almost to me like a whole new sport. It's not, it's like another sport. It's not a competitor of the PGA Tour. This is something completely different. And so I'm like, huh, that's interesting. It's just an interesting way to look at it. I still don't like it. And I don't blame anybody for taking the money, because you got to be, I mean, if money, guys, is what drives you, and if you have $50 million in your bank account and that's not enough and you want $100 million, okay, great, perfect. If you have $5 million in your savings and you want an extra 10, I get it. This is, hey, it's America, right?
Right.
We have choices and we make choices. And you know what? Sometimes there are consequences to our choices. And I think some of those guys are paying the consequence right now for some of the choices, for joining, or not even joining Live, for playing in an event opposite an event that you're eligible for on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
That's really what they're being suspended for. Not for joining the tour. If these guys played weeks, opposite weeks they were eligible on the PGA Tour or during an off week, they wouldn't be breaking any rules, in my mind.
That would be interesting to see if that were the case. But I guess the Live Tour is not giving them that option, right? You have to play all their tournaments.
Correct. Well, even if you play one, you're in, if you played in London and you were in Canada, you're in the field in Canada, then you got suspended. If I got an invite to play, I wouldn't be breaking any rules because I'm not exempt to play anywhere. And so I wouldn't be in trouble as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, because I didn't break any rules, right? They're breaking them playing in an event opposite an event they're eligible for on the PGA Tour is against our rules unless you get a release. And they did not get a release. And then the John Deere played against, you know, Pumpkin Ridge. Well, that's the first time on U.S. soil. And we've never had the opportunity to do that. It's just the rules, man. You sign on the dotted line. You join the tour. You play by the rules. You don't play by the rules, you get penalized.
So, Frank, I'm curious. Do those rules, will they hold up? We have the big trial coming up down the road, but the lawsuit with Mickelson and Reed and all those guys throwing in their names to suing, if you will, the PGA Tour for doing exactly what Paul's saying, well, okay, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't. And their argument is, you're not really an employee, an employer of ours, right? You don't give us benefits, you don't pay expenses, you don't do anything. And now you're acting like we have to follow your rules. How do you think that all can play out, Frank? And I know we might be months and months and months down the road before we even find out, but what do you think about that lawsuit and that argument that those guys are making for the Live Tour, that the PGA Tour doesn't have the right to say what Paul's saying? You can and can't play here and there.
Well, the lawsuit, separate of this, the filing for the injunction for them to be able to play, two separate deals, really. The lawsuit is that's going to take a long, long, long time. Those things, when you start playing those games, take forever, and there's be a lot of disclosure and a lot of open the kimono. The PGA Tour is going to have to open their kimono a lot more than they ever have. But the judge and the ruling that was just made really bodes very well for the PGA Tour in the future, basically, because the judge found that there would be no, I guess, damages, so to speak. It wouldn't hurt them because of all the money that they're getting on the flip side. So I don't know. It's just, it's all in the courts now. Once you turn over your fate to the judicial system, guess what? All bets are off. Go to the crap table with everything you have in your savings account and give it your best roll. Because it's out of your hands at that point. It's in the hands of your attorneys, and your attorneys better darn well be over-prepared with every possible argument that may be coming at them. So it's a mess is what it is. And I think Paul's 100% right. This is not a competitor to the PGA Tour because it is not the PGA Tour, period. It's an exhibition tour to me. Exhibition tour. It's remember the old hit and giggle tournaments that they had? Paul remembers those.
The silly season? Yeah.
Silly season. That's what this is.
So the question would be then, Paul, can they both coexist? Can they, and maybe because of lawsuits and everybody finally settles and nobody wants to keep spending millions and millions on attorney fees, can they finally come to which I think they will, but do you think that they'll come to an agreement and go, okay, guys can play in both, and whether or not we have to restrict how many here and how many there, but it's almost like the long drivers, right? We talk with Art Selinger all the time. That wasn't a competitor. It was a golf event, and it was all over the country, and during the PGA. But if you want to be a long driver, you could do it. DeChambeau right. just recently, and they didn't prevent him from being in that exhibition, if you will. So if this is a bit different, if it is not the same thing quite as the PGA Tour, can they coexist? Can you eventually get to a point where you can do both?
Wow. Well, you know what? We're going to find out. And as Frank said, it may take a while. It seems like a couple of years maybe before this thing is clear. Here's the deal. I mean, just speaking right now with a cup of coffee in my hand with no shoes on and grass clippings all over my body.
And your mower's still out in the front yard. Yeah.
Running.
No,
it's running.
It's running to dry off. But anyway, can it? It is right now, right? They're coexisting right now. Unfortunately, the guys playing LIV can't play the PGA Tour. PGA Tour members, or, you know, this thing is so convoluted anyway. I mean, DJ is not even a member of the PGA Tour anymore. He resigned, didn't he? Didn't some of those guys?
Yes, he did. Bubba resigned. DJ resigned.
Yeah. So technically, did they even break any rules? I don't know. I mean, they're not members, so.
Didn't break rules, but they're not allowed to play right now on a PGA Tour event. Because they're not a member. They gave up their membership. So that's my question is, can they have a membership in both? Can you?
I don't know.
If you gave up your membership in the PGA Tour, Paul, if I give up my membership, I'm a PGA Tour player. I've won 20 events. Okay. So now I'm lifetime.
Yeah.
And I give up my membership. I resign my membership. How do I get it back?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't read the regs and I don't know. And I've asked that same question. You know, it'd be different if I'm a two-time winner, which means I get squat. I can be a member for the rest of my life and not an exempt member. So I get some of the perks, right? I get discount on certain things. I get perks, rental car codes and, you know, I mean, whatever. I get some
$2 off at McDonald's.
Well, I haven't found that coupon yet.
If you do, let me know. I love Big Macs.
Whataburger.
French fries are good.
Oh, they are great.
I don't know. Like if DJ, because he would be considered a lifetime member of the PGA Tour, and I think an exempt member where he can play whenever he wants because he's won 20 times, right? Kind of like Davis.
Like Phil.
But
yeah. And Phil, by the way, didn't give up his membership.
He did not.
So he's just suspended. How long is the suspension? You know, guys, all the years that I played on the tour, I don't think I ever asked for a release. I played a couple times overseas, mostly in the silly season. So I don't recall ever asking for a release to go play somewhere, like abroad. Typically it happened during Bay Hill, during Phoenix, maybe during the Houston Open, the Shinichi Crown in Japan. But I never did that. But I also never heard of the tour ever saying no to anybody. I heard the tour going, hey, you know, we'll do this, but you haven't played this event in a while. Can you add that to your schedule? And yeah, okay, whatever. Right. I think it's like, hey, can you do this? That'd be great. But I also never heard of anybody being told no. I'm not saying it hasn't, but I also haven't heard of anybody doing it if they had been told no, and until now, right? So I don't even know what the rules would have been 20 years ago had I asked for a release. They told me no, and I went and played anyway. I don't know. I haven't read those regs, and I'd like to see those regs, and whether it was a suspension or a fine, or if it was up to the commissioner to decide which or both, right? And so all I know is I'm a rule follower. I didn't want to do it. But that's where we're at right now. Can it exist, coexist? I think it can, because it is coexisting. Can the players play both tours? That's a good question. Under our current rules, no. So if it takes a judge in a couple years to tell us that we need to change our rules to be more inclusive, I mean, think about it. Our rules, it's funny when they're like, hey, we play too much. I'm like, well, okay, one of the rules is you have to play a minimum of 15 tournaments a year. There's 46 of them. That's not asking a lot. Is that right? Like if they told you, when you know, they're paying you millions of dollars to do Golf Talk America, and if they say all you have to do is do, you know, a third of the shows, you're like, all right, that's a pretty good deal. So it's not like that they're at now. Granted, if you don't perform well enough to keep your card or make as much money as you want in those 15 weeks, you're probably going to play more. Hence, most of the players play 20 to 25 tournaments on the PGA Tour, and some play 30 something, because it's money, right? And that's right. What we all do. We some people played for the trophies. Most people played to make a living, and to make a good one, because you never knew when you were going to have a surgery that was going to change the way you played, right? And it's over, and the gravy train's gone. These guys, the guys who had the benefit, and I'm going to call it a benefit, of being called on by LIV to take millions of dollars to go play a member guest circuit, basically, something kind of fun, bless them. Like, that's crazy good. Take the money.
Yeah.
Invest wisely. You're set for life. But it came with some consequences.
We're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour Champions member, and also KGN PGA Tour Radio, and you hear him doing events at different times. And I'm curious, we're talking about the LIV Tour and some of the consequences of that, Paul, and what's going on with the guys that are playing or not playing. Do you find it at all disingenuous of the PGA Tour once this all came out over the last several months and the money being thrown around and all that, that the PGA Tour suddenly has more money and tournaments now are getting funded better and there's more, instead of $8 million, they're $15 or $20 million purses. They're talking about compensating for caddies and different things that you guys have had to pay for or players have had to do on their own. Maybe we can find some money for that. Is that making some players kind of go, uh-huh, okay, where was this before your feet were pushed to the fire to make you do it? Why didn't you say you had this money before that? Could that be a boomerang effect that the PGA Tour is going to have on some of these players, making them kind of look at it like, really? So if it wasn't for this, you would have kept all that money yourselves for whatever reason and not giving it to the tour, not put it in purses?
I'll tell you what. Just go back. I'm not going to do it now, but I can give you some bullet points. Go back and look at how the PGA Tour has grown over the years, year end, right?
Right.
My rookie year on the PGA Tour, purses were $1 million to $1.5 million. Purses, not first prize, purses.
Right.
When I won Hawaii in 1997, I won... The purse was $1.2 million. I won $216,000. The Western Open, I believe, was the first $2 billion purse. And then we were like, oh my gosh, like in 98 or 99. We were so amazed that we're playing for $2 million this week. Are you kidding me? 360 for first? Oh my gosh. Right? Yep. And if you look over the years, I made 376 in 2001, finishing second. So now the purses are going up, right? In those 4 years, it almost doubled. Prior to this whole thing, we're playing for, you know, 8, 9, 10 million in certain tournaments, 15 at the Players, right? So purses have been going up. We haven't been starved. Obviously, if the PGA Tour wants to compete with a tour that's paying $20 million each week, you know, yes, we're non-profit company, right? But, or business, or whatever you want to call it. There are reserves. We do have perks. Hey, there's a retirement that comes from this thing. Where's that come from? I don't know. It comes from somewhere. All I know is I'm living off of it. And yeah, it came from somewhere, right? There's money somewhere. It's not sitting there in the pockets of all the employees. They're employees. The employees aren't not-for-profit. The employees are for-profit. Our commissioner makes about the same as I'm assuming, as NFL, NBA, all the other commissioners, right? He's not sitting there making, all those points are just kind of crazy to me. The fact is the tour has been growing. They've seen this thing. They're trying to figure out a stopper on the drain, right? Of talent that are taking this money. And so they're like, hey, incentivize. There's been so much, they've been doing that for 25 years. The purses are getting better every single year. And yes, five or six events, whatever it is, jumped astronomically this year. Well, there again, that's awesome. What amazing benefit for PGA Tour players. I'm not asking where did it come from. I think that's pretty stupid. The fact is PGA Tour is an amazing opportunity, has been since its inception, getting better every year, just ask Jack Nicklaus how good it is now. And, you know, that's where we find ourselves. I think the media has done a crappy job at explaining this deal. Maybe the tour might have done a bad job at explaining some of the things too, because everybody I talk to seem to, they throw around monopoly. It's a monopoly. And And, you know, Monahan's handled this thing poorly. And I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of to Monahan, this is what George Bush dealt with 9/11, right? Kind of a big deal. You don't really prepare for that.
Yeah.
It's like it evolves. And, you know, it's crazy times right now with the PGA Tour, with professional golf. And
oh, yeah.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for my phone call. It'd be a tough one to turn down if they decided to pay me $10 million. I mean, I wouldn't need $10 million.
That's gonna
be a lot less.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot less.
Well, remember your friends.
You told me last night it would be a happy meal. You're looking for a happy meal.
2375 exactly. Is the number I heard. 23.75.
Man, I'd like a Chipotle card or something. That'd be awesome.
I don't need a lot. Like that, but, just a little something. Hey, we're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, and I'll let you get back out and mow your yard here. We don't want to keep you forever before the rare rain hits here in Dallas. But I am curious, also another hot subject is Patrick Reed suing the Golf Channel and Brandel Chamblee and defamation of character and on different things. I don't know how much you've kept up with that or not,
comment.
But there's a history of what's going on. And that's to the point of the lawsuit is he thinks, Patrick Reed, that Chamblee in particular and Golf Channel in general has criticized him nonstop for a number of years and therefore hurting his reputation, hurting his chance to make more money, maybe endorsements, things like that. Any feelings on that? What's going on with Patrick Reed and that lawsuit towards the Golf Channel?
Honestly, I just heard about it yesterday. I hate to say no comment, but I really don't want to waste my breath.
I agree. I think it's a stupid subject to even talk about. Defamation is a tough thing to prove. You got to prove damages. Here we go again. And when you start suing analysts and
people's opinions.
Now we've trekked into some quicksand. So
when the appearance of improprieties though grace the TV screen.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, and there again, it's appearance. Not saying he did what he did all those different times, but sure did look like it. So from that standpoint, now
perception.
The dude was uber talented as a player.
There's some other great things. There's no doubt. He is a hell of a player. But there's something else I want to talk about before we let Paul go. Paul, how many times did Will Zalatoris' ball bounce on the rock wall in Memphis? I counted 7 before it settled down.
Well,
good Lord.
That was pretty impressive that they both hit the rocks.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Will Zalatoris, love that dude.
Oh, what a player.
He is, obviously a great player. He's a great guy. It's super fun. I love the fact that there's so much talent out there on the PGA Tour now. These young guys. I mean, there's always been talent, but, you look at Scotty and Will, those two guys. I mean, obviously Dallas guys, I live in Dallas. I remember those guys when they were pipsqueaks. It's fun watching them. And you know, Will, it was just a matter of time. He's dealt with some setbacks. But he didn't miss the putt this time, did he?
That was awesome.
He's a couple great putts.
Several putts, a lot of
great putts. I mean, it's funny how there again, if people talked about DJ Singh as being a bad putter during his career. And there's no bad putters on the PGA Tour. Sorry. There's a lot of bad putters that are not on the tour anymore. There are a lot of bad putters that never got to the tour. But if you're on the tour and you've won tournaments, you're not a bad putter. And Will is not. Billy Mayfair had a really crummy stroke. Well, I think he still does. It's pretty it looks like a
big slice.
Well, it's all over the place. And so does Will. But you know what? Matthew Wolf has a funky golf swing. Jim Furyk has a funky golf swing. They work. So to me, it doesn't matter. If you can square that putter up and, get the ball going forward, not backwards, hit yourself with it, then it's a good thing.
And he's
going to win a lot. It's fun. And the stuff that went with it on Twitter, I don't know if you saw that from his his old coach, but anyway, I won't even go there. If you haven't heard about it, I was trying to set you up, but
sorry, no, I had
there was a Twitter debate with one of the guys that helped him in college, who's kind of a well-known golf, instructor, if you will, not a teacher, but, anyway, he's a local guy too. I'm surprised you haven't heard about it.
I didn't see that.
Then I won't go there. I'm not going to stir it up.
I am curious,
but the best comment in the whole of the broadcast to me was Azinger's comment when Zalatoris finally won, and he said, "No amount of money can buy what that guy's feeling right now."
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't watch it, but I like what he said. That's good. And yeah. You're right. And I'll tell you what: when Will Zalatoris was a kid, he dreamed of playing the PGA Tour. When every kid out there on the PGA Tour. Was a kid, they dreamed of playing the PGA Tour. Probably didn't have everything to do with making millions of dollars. I'm sure that, you know, lately that obviously comes with it. I know when I was a kid, millions of dollars didn't exist because they were playing, it was like $35,000 for first place. So it was, you know, Tom Watson had, you know, the purses were like $300,000. So it wasn't like they were making millions. I wanted to play on the PGA Tour because it was the best. And that's what I wanted to do. That's what the dreams are. But you know, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil, right?
That's right.
And,
the love,
and it's not money.
Not money. It's not
money's not the root. It's the love of money. So if you're just sucked into making as much money as possible, which I'm there again, I'd love to make more money. I'd love to have to earn more. Nobody's against that. But you start making decisions solely based on zeros, you know, things can go wrong. Not that they won't. Not that they will go wrong. They can go wrong. So sometimes there are consequences.
Well, it's when I was young and I loved the game of golf, but I didn't have the talent. So I knew I'd never play on the PGA Tour, but all my life in business and music and all that I did, it's funny how musicians always want to be around PGA Tour players. And I always wanted to be involved in some form or fashion with the PGA Tour. It took to later in life for us to become involved with PGA Tour media. And that's something that I'm very proud of that we did and we're doing still to this day. And being part of the PGA Tour media family is very important to us. So we're still 100% PGA Tour. I can't help it. And we're behind them 100%. And I just wish this all would kind of settle out. Let's get the silly season. Let them play whatever they want to do. But let's move on and continue to see the kind of golf we just saw this past weekend because it was incredible.
There's no doubt. And honestly, guys, you know, it is right now, whatever – media that Liv's getting is coming from the media, right?
It's
streaming. It's not, you're not turning on the TV and you're watching it. You know, it's going to exist. It's going on. There's a lot of money. There's not a shortage of that. So that'll be around, for a long time, in my opinion. Let's keep talking about the PGA Tour. Cause it is an amazing thing. These are pretty cool times and it's the playoffs and that's
kind of
fun.
Yep, it's going to be a blast. This week's going to be a lot of fun. One quick fact, Paul, before we let you go, and I bet you didn't know this. I didn't know this. Tim didn't know this. But the BMW Championship, and I can't remember what it was called before it was called the BMW Championship, but the tournament's been around since 1899, dating back to 1899. The BMW Championship is the oldest non-major on the PGA Tour schedule, period.
It's obviously been several reincarnations, right? I mean, incarnations. I don't know what it was back then.
I guess it was a Wild Stallion Championship in 1900.
Was that played at TPC Boston for a while?
I think, yes, it was.
Was it, or was it played in Chicago at the West?
Yeah, it was Chicago. It's more Chicago.
I thought it was TPC Boston, too.
No, that was the Deutsche Bank.
That was Deutsche Bank.
Well, what did we go to? I went to Philly to...
Well, it's moved around.
The BMW Championship
obviously
a few years ago.
Wilmington.
Correct. But TPC Boston was the Deutsche Bank.
That's right.
It was the Deutsche
Tour
event prior to that. Right. And if the BMW then was the Western
Open.
That's if than the Western Open. That obviously has been around
in the Chicago area.
So that's the WGA, Western Golf Association boys. Yeah.
Correct. That was an
Evans Scholarship.
Was at Butler National for a long, long time. Frank, we went. The BMW was at Medina.
Medina.
We were there, but what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, but then we before that or after that, whatever, I went to Philadelphia for the BMW.
Yeah, right. they definitely moved around. Yeah. They were Conway Farms, remember, outside of Chicago, too, in Lake Forest. Yeah. They were Conway Farms. So BMW has, but before it was called the BMW, I guess maybe it was the Western, which goes way, way back.
Western Open.
The Western Open. So there you go. There's a little little trivia for you. Paul, to get back on your riding mower, now you got something to think about there and ponder. So we gave you that.
I don't have a big gift from us for a riding mower, but I'm done mowing. I got to figure out how to get rid of my rust spots and brown patch in my zoysia. So, any superintendents listening, I'd love some help. I got to figure this out.
Yeah, my yard looks like I just sanded the green. I mean, it's not pretty.
I'm glad you said your zoysia, Paul. I was wondering when you said your rust spots and your brown spots. I thought you were going to say like on your forehead or something.
Oh,
trying to get rid of those.
I know they're gray now. Tim, they're gray. They're not rusty or brown. They're gray.
All right, buddy. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for taking time away from your very busy schedule. And best of luck. What's your next event that you're going to play PGA Tour Champions? Do you know?
Well, I leave Sunday for the Ally in Michigan, the qualifier. I'm still waiting, fingers crossed, that maybe possibly I can get a sponsor exemption. But I'm flying Monday. The qualifier is on Tuesday, so I'm going to go out there and play a practice round at Flint Golf Club Monday and
Flint, Michigan.
See if I can grab one of those four spots and go play. I just this week I'm going to fall out of the top 72. I've only played 8 times, and top 72 at the end of the year make the playoffs, right?
Right.
Ideally, I need to be in the top 36 to be exempt. Top 54 helps my status a lot. But to get in the playoffs, I got to be top 72 and I'm 72nd coming into this week. I didn't get to go to New York. I was in Seattle last week and long story short, I wasn't able to get all the way to New York for the qualifier. And I was first alternate last week at the Boeing. So I dropped, to 72 and, I'm not playing this week. So I'm going to fall out of that. So I need some starts and I need a couple top tens. Heck, a win would be fabulous.
Yes.
That's what I'm shooting for. So we'll see. Right. I haven't been to Warwick Hills in a long time. So I'm looking forward to going back and playing where we used to play the old Buick
for
many years.
Yeah.
That's out of Detroit.
It's a great, great track and I'd love to be a part of the field next week. So fingers crossed. If you know anybody with Ally,
give him a call.
I'll wear the hat all week. I got no headwear deal. So anyone listening, you have anybody listening? If there's anyone listening
out there.
I've got a hat deal. I'm cheap.
My head's open.
Well, we have available. I have a deal with PXG. I have some extra PXG hats if you want one.
You know what? I'm a Callaway guy. I'm not on staff with Callaway, but they've been so gracious to me over the years that, I'm a non-paid. I consider myself a staff guy, even though I'm not a staff guy, just because I love the product and they've been great to me. So
Callaway's good company.
Yeah,
good company, good people.
Well, Paul, best of luck in Flint, and we'll be keeping our fingers crossed, keeping an eye on what you're doing, and thanks for all your comments. I mean, it's always entertaining and enlightening to talk to you about what's going on this week or in past weeks in the PGA Tour. And best of luck in Flint.
Quick question
after that.
Got to interrupt 1 second. Paul, are you by chance going to be participating in the Furyk and Friends event at Temecula in Jacksonville next month?
I played last year and I'm hopeful again. Last year they were gracious enough to give me a sponsor exemption. So I'm hoping I can earn my way in, but if I don't, I'm hoping that
that's my old home club.
I'm in a position.
And you know, I lived there for 14 years. Temecula is great. The yacht club is just right down the road there too. And then of course Sawgrass, where I lived for 14, 15 years. So all my friends are there, and I will be there. Love Temecula.
They've redone it. So I haven't seen it since the redo. But what I saw last year, I really loved. The conditions were spectacular.
Yeah, that's a fabulous layout. A lot of trees are gone.
No kidding.
And they needed that. So
I'm hoping, boys.
Yeah, I love that town. Love Jacksonville, love Ortega, and love that tournament. And Furyk's foundation and his wife is a fabulous foundation. So it'll be fun. I hope you're there.
You're full of love this morning, Frank.
I am.
Isn't he?
Well, after having COVID for 2 weeks and almost dying, I love everybody. Trust me.
Seriously?
I thought I was going to die.
No,
I didn't.
No,
honest to goodness, I typed that. I was
bad. Frank, you weren't hospitalized.
101.
Don't exaggerate now.
Typed out a document that gave every password where every penny was and told my wife what to do with it and all that and gave it to her. Damn it, I lived.
Wow.
So now she knows where every penny is. So, God.
All three of them. All right.
Hey. All $3. Yeah.
I wish I would have died. All right, Paul. Take care, man. Good luck next week.
You guys take it easy. Thanks
See you, buddy.
Having me on.
All right. Bye. All right. Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, heading to Flint, Michigan. Almost died.
Flint. Oh, I thought I was. Honest to goodness.
Well, everybody does when they're sick. We all hate being sick. Men are worse than anybody.
Yes, we are. We're like little boys. I mean,
we had our moms who were taking care of us, and now, if we have a wife, they're sitting there looking at you like, and you think
I'm not your mother? Yeah, exactly. I'm not your mother.
You know, so you want to make a phone call because otherwise, I'll see you in a couple hours.
My dog sneezes, and of course, my wife goes, "Oh my God, what's wrong with Bogey?
Bogey has COVID.
Bogey, oh no, don't kiss Bogey on the lips." But.
All right, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back and wrap this little puppy up. After all that, we still need to put a bow on this to see what's going on. And by the way, the BMW Championship is taking place at Wilmington Country Club in Delaware. So the PGA Tour continues, FedEx Cup playoffs continue, and Frank and I will be back to talk about that when we return here to Golf Talk America. So don't go anywhere.
All right, everybody. I know the summer heat's melting your ice cubes, wherever they may be, in your drink or whatever else they may be. But let me tell you what. I'm wearing Tommy John underwear, so I'm not as hot as I normally am when I'm playing golf or even hanging out at the beach or running or whatever, because the summer heat's melting everything in the world right now. You know, you can keep your tall boy on ice, and that's what Tommy John does for you, okay? Let me tell you, when you wear Tommy John, you're much cooler, so you can do everything better thanks to their breathable, lightweight fabric with four times the stretch of the competing brands. And they have dozens of comfort innovations. I mean, Tommy John will keep you looking and feeling good all season long, whether you're lounging at home or just involved in some summertime fun. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers, okay? I'm a fanatic. If you wear Tommy John, you'll be a fanatic too. They've got 17 million pairs that have been sold. People love the Tommy John's underwear and their loungewear, okay? I mean, I have all of their products, okay, folks? I like everything they have. You can start off slow and dive deeper into the product, but I will tell you right now, once you wear the first pair of Tommy Johns, you're going to buy them over and over and over again. And they make you feel cooler. And actually, you are. In fact, you're up to 7 degrees cooler than when you wear cotton, when you wear your Tommy Johns Apollo underwear. Check out the Apollo underwear, and there's no risk because you're covered with the Tommy Johns best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So here's what I want you to do, folks. I want you to shop TommyJohn.com/countdown right now for 20% off your first order. That's 20% off your first order. That's a good discount. Get 20% off right now at TommyJohn.com/countdown. TommyJohn.com/countdown. See site for details. And let me tell you, I'm cooler in my Tommy John. Are you ready to improve your golf game once and for all? A PXG club fitting will bring you greater distance, accuracy, and consistency from tee to green. At your personal club fitting, you'll meet with a PXG fitting specialist to discuss your skill level and goals while introducing you to the PXG product line. Next, your fitter will analyze your performance data with TrackMan golf simulators as you hit your own clubs, if you have them with you, and you should, and a selection of PXG clubs. PXG fitting specialists are highly trained golf equipment and fitting experts who work exclusively for PXG. Watch your performance skyrocket as you are expertly fitted for the right club heads, loft, lie, shafts, and grips to increase your distance and accuracy while lowering your score. Nothing compares with a PXG club fitting to improve your performance and level up your fun. Schedule your PXG club fitting now at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Folks, do it today. You'll be glad you did. ¶¶
Welcome back to Golf Talk America to Matthews and Frank Bassett.
Hello.
What about the BMW Championship? We just mentioned we had Paul Stankowski on with us that it's older than everything but the majors.
Yep.
And it's been transformed, if you will, from a lot of different tournaments. But according to your statistician, started prior to 1900? It actually started in the 1800s? That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is. But it says it right here in the notes that from the PGA Tour that we receive.
They wouldn't lie about
talking
that.
Points, and they're not going to lie about it. But yeah, it just says the BMW Championship is the oldest non-major on the PGA Tour schedule, dating back to 1899.
Well, that would make sense if the Western was part of that, because the Western was a very, very old tournament, and was played in the Chicago area. I think maybe if not forever, but certainly for years and years. Yep. And Chicago golf. I know because I grew up there, but Chicago golf actually goes back. We think of the history of golf in this country, and most of the time we think of, what do we think of? Shinnecock and Northeast, right? New York area and kind of a bit in the New England areas where it kind of got started. Well, Chicago's got an old history of golf. Matter of fact, I think Chicago Golf Club is one of the five oldest clubs in the entire country. I think it started in 1890 or something like that, or 1880s, Chicago Golf Club. So it would make sense if it was the Western and turned into the BMW that would have started way back when. But they're out on the course now and they're playing in Wilmington. They moved to, kind of curious, why did they pick this golf course, Frank? It seems like for a very prestigious event, being the FedEx Cup playoffs, two of the three are kind of cemented, if you will. Last week, St. Jude's in Memphis, and then next week at Eastlake. Why Wilmington? Any idea why they would go to Wilmington, Delaware for the second
tradition? FedEx Cups? Tradition.
What's the tradition?
I just think it's been there forever. It's part of the Western Golf Association, and they have a great relationship with
them. I'm not saying the BMW. I'm saying this particular golf course, though.
Oh, yeah. I can't answer that.
They don't have it in Wilmington. They've never had it in Wilmington. I mean, I think they made a point of, I read somewhere that this is the same club that President Biden's a member of. But other than that, it doesn't have a lot of history. Like it does. I'm just curious if you knew why they picked Wilmington
maybe
instead of Medina or all the other places. Didn't they do the BMW one year in Carmel, Indiana?
Oh, yeah, the BMW was at Crooked Stick.
Crooked Stick, did you go there?
I was there for that.
Yeah, so I mean, it moves around.
In fact, it was really neat because we walked over to Pete Dye's house and knocked on the door and went in and said hi. No, seriously, I mean, because we know
did
him.
Did he answer the door or you just knocked on it and walked in?
Oh, he answered the door.
He was sitting on the couch.
That was when he was on his downhill slide before he passed, but it was cool. It was really cool. Anyway, it's going to be a great tournament. I'm looking at some notes that they sent. Eight rookies have advanced to the BMW Championship. Kim, Moore, Pedrith, Piera, Riley, Smalley, Thingali, and Cameron Young, with four of the eight sitting inside the top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings. That's Young, Kim, Riley, and Thigala. There's not been a season in the FedEx Cup era in which more than two rookies qualified for the Tour Championship.
So
interesting stuff. So you've got a lot of new players coming up. One of the good things about all this live golf stuff and these guys going over there is we're seeing a lot of there's a lot of airtime for the younger players and the players we haven't seen in the past. And there's a damn hell of a lot of good golf. I mean, really good golf that we're watching. So,
well, Cameron Young's one of those guys, right?
Cameron Young,
knew until British Open for a lot of people. It was kind of like his coming out party.
Yeah.
Where he and Cameron Smith kind of went back and forth and fought tooth and nail. And Cameron Young has been playing very, very well. He goes off later today. Scottie Scheffler and the man we were talking about earlier, last week's winner, Will Zalatoris, playing today. There's the Dallas twosome right behind Sepp Straka and Rory McIlroy. Sepp obviously had a great tournament last week as well. You got to think, let's go back to that. You mentioned when we had Paul on talking about Zalatoris' shot.
That was unbelievable.
18 and hits the rocks and basic, or I'm sorry, 17, right? So, 17 was the rocks. And how that ball did not go in, because it had momentum. It landed on the grass, just barely, right?
Seven.
And then came
bounces
backwards, like it had the momentum to go right into the water. How it obviously hit one of those crooked, weird parts of that rock that got the momentum going from this way to the other direction. Because there's no way, I don't think out of 1,000 times you'd see that shot, that it wouldn't end up in the water. And his ended up right there on the rocks. To his credit, he then had to take a drop, or he could have played it, but he would have had to play it off the rocks,
kind of right into the cut, the first cut there, and it would have looked like a really tricky shot. If he didn't pull it off, he could have banked it right off
backwards.
The,
yeah, backwards into the water.
Edge of the grass right there, back into the water. But he was contemplating. Remember, he sat there forever, and I was thinking, well, okay, let's do the math.
We saw some players try that the next day, and nobody could make that shot.
Yeah, I mean, he just needed to get it on the green, and he wins the tournament.
Smart golf. Some smart moves from both those boys in the playoff with taking an unplayable eye. You know,
yeah.
And then, of course,
hard to do.
With good Lord, with Seth on 18 on that golf course, and I know that golf course, Southwind, very, very, very well. You play it down the middle and start drawing that sucker, and it's going in the water. Now, how his second 18, okay, his second playoff hole, how he hit that, it bounced on the downslope toward the water and bounced back
towards the fairway. Yeah, it was almost as
it's never happened to me.
A Zalatoris shot, right? Because he totally hit a 3-wood, nice draw. It looked like he did it in the first playoff hole, which is a perfect shot.
Yep.
And he pulled it a little bit too far left, and when it hit inside the cut in the rough on the downslope of that bank, there's not a chance.
That's gone. It's wet. That was the first time he hit it first playoff hole. I said it's wet. It's wet. It's wet. Because at that angle, you're seeing it. You know, that water, and McIlroy did the same thing. It cost him the tournament years ago.
And he took his shoes off, remember?
Yeah.
Straka took his shoes off thinking, well, I'm going to maybe go down, because you couldn't tell initially how close to the water he was. Obviously close enough that he had to think he had to stand in the water if he's going to hit that shot. And then he just decided, I'm going to take a drop, which a lot of people are like, and I'm with most of the announcers. I remember Mulpey and all the announcers kind of going, you know what? I get you may not make the green, but why, if you're going to take a shot or stroke and go over here, 5 yards away, why not advance it 50 yards? I mean, can't you, you know, somehow pull off a shot that's not going to get to the green?
Well, that fairway's not that wide, and those bunkers over there are just magnets.
It's just so hard for a golfer to go backwards, is it not? It's just so hard to make yourself, even in the case of Zalatoris, he sat there for a long time because that's the mindset of a golfer, is I'm going this way. Why do I want to go 80 yards or 100 yards back over that way?
Because the percentages say I have a better opportunity to win this tournament if I do that.
It was genius. And he made it, but he had to make the putt, because if he didn't make that putt and Straka made his, because Straka was only left with for a double bogey out of the sand, he was left with about an 8-footer.
Yeah.
It could have been another tie and they go to another playoff hole. So Zalatoris still had to make that putt after a great wedge shot coming in on the second playoff hole. A lot of drama.
Everybody was like, it's going to be a boring Sunday. No, it was a lot of fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. I enjoyed every minute of it. I was sick.
It was entertaining. And now we're down to 70 guys. And so it's pretty much the who's who of, you know, Rory and Rahm and Hideki and all the big guys and Jordan are all playing. So it'll be fun. And then they're down to 30 going to Westlake. By the way, Cameron Young is out of this tournament. He's still certainly going to make
Smith
it to Eastlake.
Smith is too. Smith is also.
But I'm sorry, Cameron Smith. That's
Cameron Smith, yeah.
I didn't mean Cameron Young.
I didn't know you. I was going.
Yeah, Young's Cameron out. Young really? Is playing. Cameron Smith is out because of injury. I think back or something.
Back or neck, whatever.
And so he's going to take some time to heal up, and then he's going to get back. Winner next week, $18 million. So he's like, okay, I'll get 100% better and then try to get my money. The rumor's still hovering whether or not he'll go to Live Tour or not after that. And it seems like the way he's so tight-lipped about it, he is. I mean, if I had to put money on it, I'd say yes, because he's made no comment about it, and that usually gives you, it's like a politician, when they say no comment, that means I did it.
I wonder if Biden's going to be at the tournament this weekend.
You know what? You think he would?
Well, he just agreed to be he signed on for the President's Cup.
Yeah.
So, boy, oh boy. Can we just take the politics and just move it away from golf? Please, God, get it away from us.
I'm sure he's taking advantage of the, you know, photo op, as any politician does.
And his country club, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a great idea for volunteers. If we're short on volunteers, I think we've got plenty of new IRS agents that we could sign up. And they're going to be wearing guns. So, wow, with security, volunteers, how good is that?
That's kind of a scary thing for everybody, isn't it? I think when the government says, hey, by the way, we've doubled the number of IRS agents so we can look over everything with a fine-tooth comb. All of a sudden, you're kind of going, oh, God, what did I do? What did I say? Did I say that I got that from my mother? Did my second cousin leave me some money? I can't remember. And suddenly now you got, but they also say they're only going after the big guys, right? They want the big money.
There are only 1,000 billionaires in this country, 1,000 billionaires. Why do we need 85,000 people to go after them?
Yeah. So
I don't know. Who knows? We're not going to get into politics. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. To hell with it. I don't care. I want to watch golf. I want to enjoy it. I want to do golf media. I want to travel, play some golf, have some fun. By the way, had a lot of fun with you at French Lick. It was a lot of fun up there.
It was fun. Yeah, it was and, a good time.
Yeah,
was
you, good time. You're hitting the ball well. Is that tell Steve Johnson congratulations and damn it, stop it.
I'm playing okay.
Quit helping you.
I lost a wedge there. Yeah, I haven't found it, but I had
to. It's got to be there. Board. An AP3.
48 degree
AP3,
wedge.
Yeah.
We were practicing. We're getting ready to play. We didn't get to play because it rained, and I just left it on the practice green, and I don't know why somebody wouldn't return that. It's just not right, Frank. Golfers are decent, law-abiding citizens. Why would they not say, here's this wedge I found on the green? Nobody's done that so far.
So you replaced it. You bought a T300 48
degree. I found another Titleist 48 degree. Yeah. I actually played yesterday, and I hit it for the first time, and I hit it pretty good. It's a different club. It's a little bit different than what I have.
It's probably got a little more spin on it, doesn't it? Because the grooves aren't worn out.
Same degree. Yeah, probably.
By the way, shout out to our friends at PXG. I'm a PXG brand ambassador and love my PXGs. Haven't been able to play them since I got sick and came home. But I'm going to go hit some balls today, get out in the sun.
Good.
Get a little exercise. I don't know that I'll play. If I do, maybe nine. But thanks to PXG. And there's some big things coming from PXG. A big announcement. About their expansion and in the UK and also other expansions. So thanks to our friends at PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, I can tell you, because you saw mine. You saw me hit mine. Did I hit them good or what?
Yeah, you did hit them.
Yeah, they're great sticks. Very fitted to me. So that's important.
Also, shout out to Club Corp, our longtime sponsor, Club Corp. Be sure to check them out. They're now invited.
But
it's a soft transition, if you will. You can still go to clubcorp.com and look at being a member at a club near you. You can test the waters, find a club that is near you, and you have privileges for over 250 courses and private clubs around the country for dinner clubs and different things too.
Hey,
clubcorp.com. Check
guess
them
what?
Out.
Next week, Tour What's Championship, that? Atlanta, Georgia, Country Club of the South has accommodations. Hello, invited. Hello, Mr. Barra. Need a room. Get us a room. We're going to be there. We want to cover the tournament and cover it with a live show from Country Club of the South if we can get them to pull it off for us. So that would be fun.
We'll see what happens.
Mr. Barra.
All right. We are done. So we're out of time. Thanks to everybody for being with us. We do appreciate everybody listening from all over the world here on Golf Talk America. Thank you to Paul Stankowski for taking time away from his mower to come and talk to us as well. And looking forward, good luck to Paul next week in Flint, Michigan at the PGA Tour Champions. He's right on that borderline too, kind of like we're talking about FedEx Cup.
He and Trevino out cutting their grass and playing championship golf. Come on.
Same thing. Basically the same person.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks again, everybody. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate it. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.